Hey nerds, we understand you. Drop those controllers, lose the wizard hat, and ready your Cheetos. It's time for some hard-hitting talk about the movies, books, and games you love. So get ready, oh searcher of useless knowledge. It's time to step into the Geek Cave. Now, broadcasting from a top-secret and totally awesome hidden base, I'm Ken Harris, and here's Darren Wright, Justin White, and Chad Savage.
Welcome to another edition of the always-imitated, never-duplicated Geek Cave podcast. I'm Darren.
I'm Justin.
And I'm Chad.
Clark Kent would absolutely be outed as Superman if he accidentally pushed open a pull door. Welcome to comics.
I like that one.
That is a good one. I like that. That was solid.
I want to thank our sponsors, Shirtosaurus, digging up clothing from your past so you can look rad today, with free shipping on all orders within the U.S., plus great t-shirt, sweater, and hoodie designs on everything geek chic. Whether you're a fan of old school gaming, 80s cartoons, anime, or something in between, find everything for you at Shirtosaurus.com. And Gamefly, with membership options for every budget, plus great gifts for gamers of all ages. Gamefly has thousands of titles that you can keep as long as you want, and when you're done, just send it back in the postage-paid envelope for a new one, or keep it forever and pay a lot less than in-store prices. And they've just updated their rewards program, where you can stack up to $20 in coupons towards any purchase. Sign up for your free 30-day trial right now using the link at geekcavepodcast.com.
You know, Justin, I actually did just make a purchase using stacked Gamefly coupons.
You did?
I had enough stacked where I could buy that Stranger in Paradise Final Fantasy Origin thing. You remember, like, in the E3 trailer, it was just chaos. I'm looking for chaos. And it was, like, the most grimdark Final Fantasy you could possibly get. And I thought, I can hate a game for free. Well, good news. I was able to get it for free. Thanks, Gamefly.
Did you hate it?
I haven't even tried it yet. It's sitting in the pile.
Turns out the whole thing is actually dating sim. It's still grim dark. Dating sim.
I wouldn't be mad at it.
Yes.
Nothing but tattooed goths.
Hot Topic Simulator.
Yeah, definitely Hot Topic Simulator.
Well, speaking of dating simulators and stuff along those lines, Darren, do you have... Have you been doing anything fun lately?
Be gentle.
Be gentle.
Be gentle.
Be gentle.
It's Darren's first time.
Motherfucker, I told you be gentle.
Oh, sorry. I just took a little nap there from this. Anyway, welcome to Darren's first time. No, not like that, you pervert. No, simply I just take a first issue or first volume of a comic, read it, and see if it tickles my fancy or other things. And today, we are looking at Superman, Son of Kal-El.
Huh.
Yeah, this is the story about John Kent, one of my favorite recent characters, and his continuing adventures as the one and only heroic Kryptonian on Earth, if you don't count Kal-El or Kara or Krypto or a few others. Anyway.
Isn't this the kind of thing that led to Crisis on Infinite Earths?
It might be. It might
to,
be.
To, put, it, punch to put it bluntly, yes, maybe.
Yeah. You can go look up the long box that Justin did in a recent episode of Deep Cave Podcast Comics. He talked about John's history and all that stuff, so I don't need to, and I appreciate that.
You're welcome.
So, this book starts off with John saving a bunch of refugees fleeing a country that is supposed to be paradise. But if it's paradise, why are these people fleeing this country? And he makes enemies. Stop me if you've heard this one. It's about a Kryptonian who makes enemies with a powerful, rich, bald guy and becoming romantically involved with a reporter.
Huh.
Ah, like father, like son.
Yeah. Now, Superman has left Earth to liberate War World. He didn't take any other heroes with him for some reason. You would think that that would be, like, top of the list.
Was it a wise man trembles when a Superman goes to War World?
Anyway, John is protecting Earth. You know, jokes aside, the art is great, you know. John continues to be a very likable and interesting character. And there's a twist during the story. I'm not going to spoil much. There's a twist that we find out with his physiology being half Kryptonian and half human, he might actually be potentially more powerful than his father, Superman. Superman OG.
Okay. I guess.
There's a nice flashback where Superman almost misses John's birth because there's an alien invasion of Earth, and the Justice League has to keep reminding Kal-El it's only an attempted invasion because nobody has landed yet. And the aliens don't look all that tough. Go be with your wife. We've got this.
We'll call you if there's a problem.
Yeah. Even when Superman shows up at the fortress where the birth is happening, Batman is waiting outside. He's like, Bruce, don't you understand there's an invasion? It's an attempted invasion. Go be where you need to be. You know, that kind of thing.
I'm just picturing Batman as a midwife now.
No, Wonder Woman was actually the midwife, which, you know, that tracks.
Yeah.
There's also a great moment later on where John is trying to decide what kind of Superman he wants to be, and he's helping Robin, Batman's son Damian, repel a bunch of ninjas. And at one point, one of the ninjas actively complains this is not a fair fight, to which John replies, a good ninja would be completely silent. I mean, he's not wrong.
So it's as if Dick Grayson were going to be Superman. Smarmy. A little bit. I like it.
A little bit. And in Volume 2, we actually do get... Well, not actually, no. Not in... Volume 2, as well as in a bit of Nightwing. There is some kind of exchanges between him and John. And John really looks up to Nightwing because everyone looks up to Dick Grayson. Everybody does in the DC Universe. So there's a lot of fun moments like that, but I do have some problems. My biggest problem with the book is I don't have a problem with the romance with Jay Nakamura. I don't care about that at all. My problem is that it feels rushed as hell in that they hang out a couple of times. Jay tells John, hey, I can phase through solid matter, so I'm the only person on the planet you don't have to worry about. And just like that, they're a couple. There's no romantic building. There's no relationship building. It's just like, hey, you're involved with this group that wants to help people, and you're a reporter? That's kind of hot. You want to make out? That's kind of how it went. I don't know if DC was rushing it for whatever reason. I don't. It's an open criticism.
Well, they got to figure out some way of killing him, and the more time they have to do that.
Fair.
And I was going to go the opposite direction and say, when the spark hits, you just know.
Maybe he just zinged, for those of you who've seen Hotel Transylvania. And I'm not asking them to drag it out for a few years or whatever. I just want more time to get to know Jay, because right now he just seems like another Lois Lane, essentially. It just seems a little... It's like a Lois Lane, but male and with pink hair, and it just seems a little too on the nose.
And the ability to phase through matter.
And the ability... Okay, so it's a male Lois Lane who's also Kitty Pryde.
You know?
I mean, I don't hate it. Again,
I'm also waiting to see the downside here, Darren.
Yeah, I also may be a little bit biased because of DC's decision to age John up by almost a decade. I'm trying not to hold that against this particular book, but there were a couple of flashbacks that reminded me of the fun stories that we potentially missed out on because of this whole situation. Just to make sure John was old enough to join the Legion of Superheroes, which, hold on a sec. Let me check something. It lasted a year. The book lasted a year. You aged up this character for essentially a book that was going to be canceled once again because no one reads the Legion of Superheroes. Good job. Good job, Bendis. Yep. But John still, was it Bendis or Morrison? Who do I blame for this one?
I will look it up.
All right, thank you. I mean, Bendis is usually a good person to blame anyway. Morrison's a genius, but one of them wanted the Legion of Superheroes.
Legion of Superheroes.
Legion of Superheroes, yeah. Not the Legion of Doom's a pro wrestling team. and villains from Challenge of the Super Friends. But yeah, it was canceled after just 1 year, so well worth it, guys. Great job. But still, I mean, John's a great character, and
Bendis,
that's what I thought it was Bendis.
It's the alliterative properties. Always blame Bendis.
Good old ABB. But still, John's a great character. This first volume was a good jumping on point. Had enough humor and fun moments to keep my interest up, so to speak. So go ahead and be like me.
Cool. Thank you.
And always blame Bendis.
Always blame Bendis, yes. When in doubt, always blame Bendis. Hmm. Oh, when in doubt, always ABBA. Always blame Bendis, always.
Just in case.
Just in case.
Maybe someone missed the first always.
Yep.
Yep. Just to drive it home. Yep. Has anybody read anything fun lately? Or anything new?
Oh, I read the first two issues of Jurassic League.
Oh, please tell me more. I forgot that was out. Going to Comixology now.
So, have you ever... You watch Mythbusters, right?
Yeah.
Of course. And you know how they would always slow down the car crashes to, like, super slow-mo?
Uh-huh.
And it was really cool looking to see all those things.
Uh-huh.
Now imagine that it wasn't a Mythbusters thing, but an actual car crash happening in slow motion. It's still cool. You know that you should look away. You've got every opportunity to look away, but you're not gonna.
Oh, no.
It's a bit like that.
Oh, no.
Oh, yes.
Oh, yes.
Okay.
Super Sore and Jokerzard and Batasaur and Atrocitaurus. And, I mean, oh, my. Brontosauro.
I mean, this is clearly just to sell toys, right?
Oh, this is to sell toys. This is a better...
It's going to sell a shit ton of toys, too.
A better toy selling scheme than the original 80s Ninja Turtle cartoon. I mean, it's not terrible. It's just not good. So, it's only six issues, though. And only two of them are out. I mean, I'm starting to get a little bit... It's the same kind of impatience I'm having with the Superman, Batman.
World's Finest.
It's like, I really enjoy each issue, but it's dumb.
Oh, yeah.
I did read the first two or three issues of that, yeah.
It's fun, but dumb.
It's like, and I'm enjoying it, and I'm going to keep getting it until I find out that it's just going to last forever. And then I'll stop and get the trades when the trades come in. But yeah, Jurassic League 1 and 2, it's a slow-mo car crash.
All right. Duly now noted.
I paged through the first issue when I was at a local comic book establishment. A lot of blood there. Mm-hmm. So I imagine when we get the inevitable 13-episode children's cartoon, they'll probably have to dumb it down a bit or at least sanitize it. Maybe instead of biting everyone, it's just a whole lot of tail slaps, that kind of thing.
Probably.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's probably how they're going to have to go.
But, I mean, you got... It references, like, the 1989 Batman, because it's Jokerzard is the one who killed Batasaur's parents.
Of course.
Yeah.
You
know? All right.
Supersaur is actually raised by human parents. He's the one who doesn't look like a dinosaur, by the way.
Hmm. Well, he's different.
Makes sense.
He's different, yeah.
Wonder Woman is Triceratops from the... Oh, what's her name? I don't remember her name now. I just read it today, too.
Who her?
Hmm?
Which her? Oh,
Wonder Woman.
Was it Wonder Tops or...
Something like that. I mean, it was weird.
Wonder Tops or something like that. It was a Triceratops, though.
Yeah. Yeah. It's... And she has a invisible pterodactyl steed that she can fly with the invisible pterodactyl.
You know, your energy is like, this is dumb, but your words are like, I need to read this now.
Yeah, I'm very conflicted.
And you should be, because it's amazing and it's awful and you can't stop reading it and you shouldn't pick it up in the first place. And it's absolutely brilliantly constructed, and you want to slap the idea right out of the person's head who had it first. It's just, it is well worth picking up, and you're going to be a little bit guilty for doing so. So I don't have a grade for it. Just go in knowing what you're getting into.
Sounds like four rars out of five.
3.5.
Okay.
3.5 rars out of five. Noted.
Yes. Yep.
Yep. So I did have, I was reading some stuff, other stuff, and I think it's probably a stupid question.
Come on, Chad. There are no stupid questions.
And now it's time for Chad Savage's stupid question.
So, Justin, we have Wonder Woman.
Mm-hmm.
And there was Wonder Man.
Yes.
And DC and Marvel both had a Wonder Man. There's the Wonder Twins.
Mm-hmm.
And there's Robin the Boy Wonder. What are they all thinking about?
Times like this, I wish it was a video podcast.
Yeah.
Ideas. imagination. Just. Psychology references. I'll get back to you.
Okay. Thank you.
You're welcome.
See, like, I'm not gonna make it a video podcast. I just wish it was sometimes.
Just every now and again.
So heads, Discord, don't ask for it. It's not happening.
Probably not.
Also, join the Discord.
Well, I mean, that's absolutely.
Yeah.
However, if you donate an obscenely large amount of money in one shot to our Extra Life campaign, we might put you in on the video call.
Yeah. So, like, our texting discussion is called Tim. We need to have a name for the video call.
Now, granted, we don't have any fans named Tim that we're aware of. If you donate an obscenely large amount of money to our Extra Life campaign, we will name our personal text thread after you.
A personal text thread that just had a callback to our original video endeavor.
Yeah.
So.
Yep.
Yeah, and you know, that reminds me, a little bit later on in the segment, I want to talk about Extra Life, because we've got our first list of prizes.
Well, why don't we just go ahead and do that now?
Okay, I don't want to step on your segment, I'm sorry.
Oh, no, by all means, let's get the good stuff out of the way first before I go into my next bit.
Oh, dear God.
Oh, so that sounds great. Yeah, so we're looking at a number of different potential prizes for Extra Life this year, on top of a few that are confirmed. Obviously, our grand prize is going to be something special. We'll get to that in a second. We're going to be doing a little bit different stuff this year. 100% of your donation, as always, will go to Children's Miracle Network Hospitals. Each of us has chosen a hospital to play for.
Yep.
You can find the details if you click on the Extra Life link at deepcavepodcast.com. The winners will receive, if you donate any amount, you are entered into the drawing for a number of prizes, one of which is a physical copy of Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles Shredder's Revenge on Switch, courtesy of Limited Run Games.
Yay.
Big thank you to them. Also, a t-shirt of the winner's choice from Shirtosaurus.
Yay.
Someone will win their choice of either a Nintendo Switch Online Xbox Game Pass or PS Plus Essentials membership. So that's pretty cool.
All right.
And we're playing with some tiers. Those aren't set in stone yet, but we do have a grand prize. Donations of $250. If you donate $250 to our Extra Life campaign, either of us, just on one of our particular pages, you will get a guest spot in a segment on the show. So I know some people have been asking, how can we get on the show? This is how.
Mm-hmm.
You're not giving us money. You're giving the money to Children's Miracle Network. But you donate $250 or more, we will put you in one of the segments. You'll be part of the call if we're recording remotely. If you can get here live, that's great. But if not, we'll make sure that you are part of the segment. And you can pick the segment. Mm-hmm. Doesn't matter to us, you know. But you can get some of those details at DTapePodcast.com on the Extra Life page. We will update that with prizes, and we will continue updating it as we continue to hash things out. May not be as long a prize list this year because times are tough for literally everyone, but we are going to make up for it by making you a part of the show.
Yes.
Geek Podcast, where you are the geek.
Yes. Anything you can give is always a help. So even if you're just spreading the word, we appreciate it. So now with the good and delightful out of the way, Kent.
That's right, ladies and gentlemen. Prepare yourself for Justin's long box. Yeah, baby. Extra long.
Comic books are modern mythology. Amazing characters achieving amazing things. Some stories have even fallen onto suggested reading lists, becoming literary musts of the day. And when comics intersect with classic literature, a new world of possibility opens up. And today, we're going to look at one such intersection. First appearing in Marvel Team-Ups number 131 in July of 1983, created by J.M. DeMatteis, Cary Gamble, and Mike Esposito, I present to you White Rabbit.
Oh, hey.
Yeah.
I know this one.
Yeah. Born into a wealthy family, Lorna Dotson grew up in a safe, secure environment and was showered with all the material possessions she desired. However, she was bored and only found entertainment from classic literature, such as Alice in Wonderland, her favorite. As she grew older, she was married off to an older gentleman named Lewis Dobson. At the time of her marriage, she was 25 and he was 82. Scandal. She resented being treated like a trophy wife, so she killed her husband.
As one does.
The police thought it was an accident, and after that, she would only mention that he, quote, died happy, and subsequently use her inheritance to buy various gadgets so she could experience a full life of danger and excitement. Thus, she became White Rabbit, an eccentric female criminal whose costume resembles a cross between the literary character from Alice in Wonderland and a Playboy bunny.
Is she always running late? Please say she's always running late.
I don't know. Maybe.
Damn it.
While the White Rabbit is clearly insane to the point of being completely ridiculous, she is quite articulate with a great knowledge of literature. At some point earlier in her career, she was trying to establish her reputation and confronted Deadpool, who at the time was bonded with the Venom symbiote, because that's a great idea.
Future idea for a long box, by the way.
Yeah. She used an array of carrot-based gadgets and mutant rabbits, as well as stealing only watches. She spent her first...
I can't take off my glasses in frustration. I'm wearing contact lenses today. I'm so used to just reaching up, putting them down. Thank you.
I just handed Chad my glasses. Theater of the mind, folks.
Yes. She spent her first days as a criminal robbing various fast food joints, most notably Quickie Burger. She and her gang were eventually confronted by Frogman, who was able to defeat her only with the help of Spider-Man's aid.
Yes. You want to know about Frogman? Week 3 podcast, bitches.
White Rabbit escape, but struck later at a bookstore where she found the two superheroes once again. Witnessing her men being handily defeated, she fled using her jet boots. They began to malfunction, allowing Frogman to knock her into a building. She resurfaced, plotting her revenge against Frogman. She allied herself with Walrus, and they were defeated by Spider-Man, Frogman, and Frogman's father, Leapfrog.
What?
Ditching Walrus, she popped up again later with two new villains, Mad Hatter and Dormouse, though they were both actually just hired actors and were not supervillains. She formulated a new plan by capturing Grizzly and Gibbon and ransoming them for $1 billion in gold.
The dude from Six Pack?
Doesn't say.
Which Grizzly? Because wasn't there like one of those animal things that...
Adams.
Adams?
Grizzly Adams.
No, I don't think it was him. Oh.
Was it the AIM agent? Which is the... Like, wasn't there a bear in one of those animal team-up things?
Oh, yeah, yeah. In heck, it was last month we talked about Brute Force.
His name
yeah.
wasn't Grizzly. I forget what it was. I've already purged that from my memory because, by the way, White Rabbit has genetically altered rabbits who are ready to eat Grizzly and Gibbon.
Of course she does.
Yes. One could say that last month's long box was barely memorable.
When no one offered to pay the ransom, this caused her to fly into a rage, and she raised the ransom to $5 billion, but this time she demanded it be paid entirely in quarters. But Spider-Man, under the alias of the Bombastic Bagman, infiltrated the White Rabbit's hideout and battled her giant rabbit robot. She was knocked out by Grizzly.
How many quarters are in circulation?
Please wait.
Let's see. Average lifespan of a quarter is 1.8 years. I'll get to you here in a second.
Okay. She was knocked
out. Go ahead.
She was knocked out by Grizzly, who claimed he only did it so he wouldn't be accused of being sexist. Yeah, don't ask.
She was never going to get that. There are not that many quarters in circulation in the country. I mean, 20 billion quarters is a lot.
That's a lot of quarters.
Yeah. There's apparently only 379 million quarters, and that's in today. You know, it's
yeah, so back then, yeah.
She wanted him, you know, pennies. You know, she could get a trillion pennies.
So White Rabbit later appeared as a member of the Menagerie, an all-animal-themed supervillain team.
Stop.
No, that's a thing. They were on a rampage stealing expensive eggs from an auction when she and the Menagerie were defeated by Spider-Man. They were Menagerie later reunited to commit a diamond heist, which again led to defeat by Spider-Man.
That's Spider-Man.
Next, she hires Howard the Duck to procure Pym particles for her, but was defeated by Ant-Man.
She what?
Yeah. As part of the all-new, all-different Marvel event.
Hey, you remember that? The not a reboot?
Yeah.
She allies herself with Walrus again to put forth a plan that involves tampering with this New York City's drinking water. They are defeated by Spider-Man. She also appears as a member of the Hateful Hexed along with Bear Borgai. B-E-A-R-B-O-A-R-G-U-Y. Bear Borgai, one word.
Is that guy related to Man Bear Pig?
I hope so. Bear Borgai, Ox, Squid, and Swarm. During this disastrous fight with Spider-Man and Deadpool, the battle is crashed by Itsy Bitsy, who brutally murders most of the villains, traumatizing White Rabbit, who is saved by Deadpool. I will not be taking questions on that last paragraph.
I won't be asking them.
But I have so many.
White Rabbit is obsessed with the works of Lewis Carroll, and her equipment reflects this. Her weaponry includes an umbrella that shoots razor-sharp or explosive carrots, a large, rideable, heavily armored robot rabbit, genetically altered killer bunnies, and jet boots. She has two custom modified vehicles, a Zeppelin called the Flying Hare and a van called the Bunnymobile. Due to her ridiculous appearance, insanity, and lack of judgment, few people take her seriously, and she is generally dismissed as a raving lunatic. So there is everything you never wanted to know about White Rabbit.
It's true.
That is certainly the case.
I would like to thank our sponsors, Shirtosaurus and Gamefly. Be sure to check out our other shows, You Want Me to Watch What?, the Week 3 podcast, the Sporadic TLDR, and on YouTube, Geek Cave Plays and Retromantics. Have I missed any? Have we added any new ones since then?
Not yet.
Not yet. Cool.
Not yet. I mean, heck, the Discord just, they might want their own eventually.
And speaking of, you can look us up on social media, including Facebook, Twitter, YouTube, Twitch, and Discord. Hi, guys. Links to all of them and much more can be found at geekcavepodcast.com. Say hi when you get there. Also, be sure to tell your friends about us. We'd love to hear from you. And look us up on all your favorite podcast services, including Good Pods.
And leave us a review.
Yes. And now here's your out-of-context comic panel. We see the Punisher admonishing the Blob. Just go to your room, and no supper for you tonight, young man.
Yeah, that's a thing.
For yeah. Kent, Darren, and Chad, I'm Justin, and this has been the Wonderful World of Comics, and remember, everyone's a geek for something.